Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Amen. I'm glad I'm one of God's children, aren't you? Thankful for that reminder. He's fighting for us. Amen. God is for you. He's not against you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. You know, there's a lot of times I remember going through a time in my life, especially when I was a teenager. I was always thinking I had to do enough, Brother Josh, to be good enough. And I had to do so many more actions and pray so many more prayers and just make sure all the time just thought I wasn't going to be good enough. But I'm thankful the Lord. Amen. You're one of His children. Hallelujah. And when you make mistakes, He picks you up and gives you the strength to keep on going. Amen. And He's fighting for you on your side. Acts chapter 1. Praise the Lord. My plan this whole weekend for tonight was to preach short, all right? And I know you laugh at me because I say I preach long, but there have been a lot of longer sermons from this pulpit over the years. Amen. But I just really want to appeal to you tonight. I feel stirred in my heart that we need to get hungry for a move of the Spirit. Amen. A personal move. And we had a great move of the Holy Spirit here on Sunday night last week. God was moving. He's stirring hearts. Even in all of our services, the Lord's been moving and stirring hearts. But on a whole scale, I would love for each one just to get a hunger for more. Amen. Of what God has for us. So Acts chapter number 1, we're going to read the first 8 verses, and we're going to skip over to Acts 19 and read the first 2 verses of that chapter. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 19, the first 2 verses there. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice there in chapter 19, Paul comes to the church of Ephesus, and he later wrote a book to the Ephesians, and Jesus spoke in the book of Revelation to the church of Ephesus. But he asked them a very important question about their spiritual walk with the Lord. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And this was their reply, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We've not even heard. Well, these were men and women who would have heard of the Holy Ghost. And so their reply there doesn't mean they didn't know about the Holy Ghost. They did. They knew that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters at creation. They knew that the Spirit had come upon men like Isaiah and Elijah and Elisha and Samson. They knew about the Holy Ghost speaking through the prophets and coming on people like Moses and Samuel and others who were used to do miracles and mighty things, the judges and such in the Old Testament. They knew about that, But what they were replying was to the question, have you received the Holy Ghost? See, the church of Ephesus, they didn't understand that they could have the Holy Ghost. They thought the Holy Ghost was reserved for something special like a king or a prophet or even maybe just the Messiah. They didn't know about this Holy Ghost that they could have and receive for themselves. And that's what Paul was talking about. The Holy Ghost is for you, church. Each one of you in here tonight, your youngest all the way up to the oldest, the Holy Spirit is for you. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for you when you get to 30 and above. It's not just for the elder saints. The Holy Spirit is for every single one of us in this building tonight. Now, growing up Pentecostal, at times it can cause us to take some things for granted. Services where the Holy Spirit's moving often become commonplace to us, and I believe that's how it should be. But too often we look at those events and those services where people are responding to the Holy Ghost and souls are being filled or miraculous things are happening, and we just kind of pass it off as normal or commonplace. And you know, really, Pentecostal and movement in the services, a Pentecostal expression, is something we need to seek for on a weekly basis. Not just on Sunday morning and Sunday night, but on Wednesday nights as well. We want to be a church that doesn't just have Pentecostal on the marquee or on the sign outside, but people come in here and they know there is something happening in this place. In Acts chapter 19, we read of those questions that Paul asked the Ephesian church, but you know, you read a little further and you'll find that God began to work through Paul's ministry, doing extraordinary and unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. That's what the scripture says. What does that mean? That means there were commonplace and ordinary and usual miracles that happened all the time. That's what I'm looking for. I want you to get that this evening. That's what we're looking for. We want this to be a place where people come in and say something like, wow, that's a miracle factory over there. People walk out of that church changed. They walk out of that transformed. They have a smile on their face when they leave. They leave there not bound by depression or addiction. Maybe they leave there healed and not bound by their sickness or disease. That's what we want to see at Union Pentecostal Church. That's what I'm hungry for. But growing up Pentecostal, it can cause us to look at things through a lens that may not accurately depict what the moving of the Spirit is all about. We may think that our experience has to mimic someone else's. It has to look just like theirs. I have to get filled like they got filled. I have to shout like that person shouted. I have to express myself like that way. And I have to sound just like this. And the music's got to get right to this point. And sometimes I feel like that confusion in our minds has deterred us from seeking to be filled with the Spirit, or in some aspects hindered us and caused us to put it in a box, or that experience in a box, and think it's just got to be a certain way or it never really happened. Church, God is not limited in how He can pour His Spirit into your soul and into your life. He just wants to fill you up. Oh, you need to hear that again. He just wants to fill you up. And that's a promise that's from the Father. But here's the thing. In Acts chapter 1, they wanted answers. The disciples, they had questions. They wanted answers to those questions. But God wanted to give them power. Amen. And that's the title of the sermon tonight, Power or Answers. Power or Answers. You've got questions. You want answers. But the Lord wants to give you power. Amen. There are a lot of questions we may not have answered in this life. A lot of things that may confuse us about why God did want things one way or the other. But in the midst of that, we can still have power. Hallelujah. And that's more important than having all the answers. I want you to notice a few things here, and then we're going to come and pray. I want you to notice the things that the disciples had seen Verse number 3 says, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now we see that they had seen infallible proofs. They had seen all the miracles even before the death of Christ and all the things that he did following his resurrection. There's even, it says in the book of John, I believe it is, that if all the miracles that Christ did were recorded, not even the world could contain all the books. And the disciples saw all of it take place. They saw the blind man healed. They saw the lame man walk. They saw that woman with the issue of blood reach out and grab the hem of his garment. They saw the deaf and the mute be able to speak and hear. They saw the demons cast out. They saw great and mighty things take the man let down from the roof. You remember that one? They saw him reach down and spit in the mud and touch the eyes of the blind. They saw all kinds of things, infallible proofs. And even after Jesus died, they saw the resurrected Savior, the risen Lord. I mean, he proved to them that he was alive after his death and burial. He proved to them, hey, I'm still alive. I'm risen. Hallelujah. How did he do that? Well, he spoke to them there. I mean, he walked through into the room where they were gathered through a door that was shut. Remember that? He didn't even have to open the door. He walked with them on that Emmaus road and revealed to himself as he prayed, revealed himself to them as he prayed who he was. He showed them the nail prints in his hands. He invited Thomas to touch the scars of his thigh. They heard his side. They heard his real voice. They ate with him on the beach. They ate fish with him. He kept proving to them, I'm alive. I died, but I rose again. There was no doubt. Infallible proofs that they had seen the risen Savior, and they knew Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the Son of God, was alive and had conquered death. Let me tell you about the things they heard. Verse number 3 says that they heard him speak of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus taught them many truths about the kingdom of God. He said, my kingdom's not like an earthly kingdom. He told them who would enter the kingdom. He told them what it would be like when people stood before the throne and how he would have to separate the sheep from the goats. He told them what it would take or what was necessary to get there. Praise God. He told them to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and that everything they needed would be added to them. He told them that the greatest on earth would be the least in the kingdom of heaven, and that the least on earth would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He said the kingdom of heaven was as a mustard seed that's planted, grows to become a great tree, and all the birds of the air come and rest in that tree. Praise the Lord. He said the kingdom of heaven was like a treasure hidden in a field, that a man would go and sell everything that he had just to buy that field because the treasure was there. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea that gathers of every kind. So they heard him talk about his kingdom. They heard him say in verse 4, go and wait for the promise. The promise is going to come. Go up to the upper room, tarry in Jerusalem until you'll be endued with power from on high. What was the promise? He said it in verse 5 of Acts chapter 1. It was this promise that as John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days from then. Hallelujah. So they heard of the kingdom of God. They heard of the promise of God. But here's the thing that they wanted to know. Answers they felt they needed, or that even they may have deserved. Verses 6 and 7, let me read it to you again. They came together, and the Amplified Version says, they repeatedly asked Jesus this question, will you at this time restore power again to the kingdom of Israel? Will you in this moment give us that earthly throne that we seek for. Look at that. They repeatedly asked for the same answer. The answer, Lord, we want this power you speak of, but is it restoration of our nation? Is it the political power that we're seeking? Is it freedom? Will we finally be a free people politically again? Will we see our Israel heritage return to prominence? Is that what the power is? And that question shows how bad disciples are at times at paying attention. See, all the time Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, it'll be as a grain of mustard seed. It's like to say, all right, mustard seed, got it. Cast in net, net cast and seed, got it. And they just went on about their business, not remembering, not focusing. What he was talking about was not earthly terms. Amen. See, Jesus, when he talks about his kingdom, it's not an earthly kingdom. And when he talks about his power, it's not an earthly power. And all the while, they're wanting answers to those earthly questions. Will we have a Hebrew sit on the throne? Will the Romans be brought to justice? Will we overturn their government? Will we have military strength and power again? And this is what Jesus' reply to them was, you don't need that kind of power. Amen. It's not for you to know those answers. That's what he said in verse 7. You don't need to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. You want answers. I understand. You have a lot of questions. So do I for the Lord. But the Lord says you don't need all the answers, but you do need the power. Jesus speaks in different terms, spiritual terms. His kingdom is a lot different than an earthly kingdom. It's different than any kingdom you and I have ever seen in this world. His power is a lot different than anything that these people in the book of Acts had ever experienced up till Acts chapter 2. And so they're thinking of militant power. They're thinking Jesus is speaking of physical or political power that we can, in essence, touch, that's tangible. But Jesus is speaking of that spiritual power. Hallelujah. They want answers, but God wants to give them power. And here, let me tell you finally the things that they were promised. I told you I'd go quickly. It's not for you to know the answers, but the power. He said, this is what I have for you. This was a personal promise with a worldview. Hallelujah. I'm going to fill you with power. And when I fill you with power, then you will go and preach. Hallelujah. And go and witness for me, not just in your little bubble where you want that political regime to rise, but you'll go outside of Jerusalem, outside of Samaria, even beyond Judea, unto the uttermost part of the world. Yes, you're concerned and hungry for a militant, prominent, providential power, answers that you think will help you make it to tomorrow. They wanted a power they thought would keep them intact, but church, listen, Jesus promised them a power that wouldn't keep them there, but would send them out. Praise God. They wanted answers, and Jesus promised power. They continued to push for answers, repeatedly asking the same questions over and over and over. And Jesus hushes them before they get out of hand like they usually would. The power is unlike anything you're thinking of. But when it happens, he said, you're going to know what I'm talking about. How do I know that's what he meant? Because he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you will go. Amen. When it happens, you're going to know, and then you're going to go. When the power came, they didn't need any more answers, church. They weren't asking for the answers to that question of a throne room, or that question of a rise of a someone who would come and result in a coup of the Roman government. But they listen, all the while they're trying to reconcile power with something tangible. But there's nothing earthly like the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost fell, this is what happened in Acts chapter 2. When they got into the upper room, they eliminated the distractions. They got up there and they began to seek the Lord. prepared for the promise of power. They got into the upper room, and all of a sudden, the Bible says that that wind, that sound of a rushing mighty wind filled the house. You remember that? They heard that sound. The cloven tongues rested on them. Hallelujah. And they began to speak in tongues, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But when it happened, this is what they said. This is that. Glory to God. This is that. One of my favorite illustrations I ever heard about how this took place was the use of flashcards. Anybody ever use flashcards as a student, or maybe you used them to teach? Probably you still do in this hour that we live in. But you know what happens when you look at that flashcard? I meant to put some up on the screen, but I didn't. But imagine there's some on the screen right now. If we threw up 2x3, what would you say the answer was? Who said 6? Hopefully all of you. Praise the Lord. If I said 2 times 2, what would you say? If I said 5 times 5, 10 times 10, 10 times 1. You had to think about that one, didn't you? You don't have to compute it in your mind. See, those problems equate to the answer already. You've seen that enough times where you knew what the answer was already. So when I show a flashcard to my children, or my wife does, she's the teacher, it says 3 times 2. They already know the answer that's on the back. It's 6. They know. You can even show them the answer 6, and they'd say it's 3 times 2. They would know it because the flashcard is there. This scripture in Joel chapter 2, we didn't read it, where it was prophesied, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I hope you're getting this tonight. Over and over and over and over again, the Jewish people heard that promise read to them in the synagogue. They knew the promise inside and out. And finally, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, oh, that's what that is. Hallelujah. That's what the fire is. That's what the sound is. That's what the power is. So they knew, praise the Lord, in terms of that flashcard, pictorially, oh, this is that that was promised to us. Hallelujah. And it happened over and over and over again. And church, it still happens in this hour that we live. There is still power being poured out. It all made sense. This is that. Before Acts 2, they wanted answers. But when the power came, they had all the answers they needed. Glory to God. They had all they needed because they realized at this moment, oh, this is the last days. He's pouring out his spirit. That means subsequently, we're going to start dreaming dreams and seeing visions, and our handmaidens are going to prophesy, and our servants are going to rise victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the promise. Whew. Praise the Lord. Now we come full circle. Amen. If our music could come tonight. We're like those disciples. We keep asking for answers. We want it to all make sense in our minds. We know we need to be filled because we've heard it all our lives. Get saved. Amen. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But we don't quite understand just how it all works. And we want answers. What will I sound like when I get filled with the Holy Ghost? How will it sound when I speak in tongues? Will I make a fool of myself? Will people laugh at me? If I get filled with the Holy Ghost, where is he going to lead me? Am I worthy? What if it's just me? Hallelujah. Listen, you don't need to know the answers. You just need the Holy Ghost. You don't need the answers. You just need the power. But you got to want the power, church. You got to want that. You got to hunger. Their hunger for a throne and political power gave way as they entered into that upper room with intention, and they remained there until the power of the Spirit fell upon them. They were hungry and desperate for the promise of the Father. And that power, amen, that was promised to them. So I ask you, are you hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you hungry for that? Amen. Are you? Anybody else? Are you hungry? I know you got questions. I know you have questions, because I did too. When I was a young man seeking to be filled with the Spirit, there was some confusion in my heart. Really, probably more like I just was afraid that it would end up just being me pushing things. And amen. But finally, one day I was standing over there behind that barrier right there. And I was praying. I was asking the Lord to fill me with the Holy Ghost during a chapel service. And Sister Dearth came over there and started praying with me. Praise the Lord. And she just told me, she said, just let it go. Amen. And what the Lord places in your heart, amen, just let it come out. And the Lord filled me with His Spirit. Amen. Amen. It didn't happen like all my other friends. And over the years, it's took a while for some of the things that the Spirit wants to do in my life to develop. He's still developing things in me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the power is for us. But are you hungry for the power? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's stand together. I feel like you need to, you already know it. You have so much knowledge. And you believe it. What you've been taught through the years, you believe it. But it's time to put some action, amen, on the words that you have faith in. You believe the promise is for you. All right. Then get hungry for the promise. Seek for the promise. Seek for the promise. God's not up there just, you know. Anybody ever play a game, mess around with your kids, like, you know, they want something, you hold it high and see if they can jump up and get it. You just raise it up, then you lower it down and you raise it up. The Holy Ghost, God ain't doing that with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you're getting close. Let me raise it a little higher so you'll see how much you'll try. That ain't the way the Lord works, y'all. His promise is for you today. Amen. You can leave here full of His Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Here's another thing that's important. He wants to use you in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not just reserved for two or three. It's not reserved for the pastor. You know, the great revivals that took place across this world, they didn't have to have somebody, only one or two, laying hands on people and recovery and healing and miracles take place. The people, everybody, grabbed a hold of the promise. And they weren't even waiting on the preacher to preach. As soon as they walked in the door, they were praying, laying hands on people, prophesying and speaking in tongues and words of interpretation and different things taking place. Some of them were even kids. And that promise is still available today. But the key is do you want it? Are you hungry for it? And so this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not hyping it up intentionally, because I feel like we don't have to hype it up. Genuine moves of the Holy Spirit do not need to be hype. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you want the power, you're hungry for the power, the promise, the Spirit to fill you up, I want you to come and begin to seek for it right now. Young and old, everybody, all at the same time. You're hungry for the power, begin to come. Just maybe reach up your hands, raise your hand. You can kneel, whatever you feel led to do in this moment. But I want you to seek God. Fill me with the fire. Fill me with the power. Lord, refill me. I'm appealing to some of you men and women who have been filled with the Holy Ghost 20, 30, 40 years ago. But it's been a while since that power hit you. The Holy Spirit wants to live inside of you and work inside of you, fill you up to overflowing. And it's a promise that is for you, your children, and all that are far off. God can fill you, hallelujah, even as you pray, even as you cry out to Him tonight. He can fill you as you pray for the person next to you. Hallelujah. He can fill our fathers. He can fill our mothers. He can fill our children. He can fill our grandparents. He can fill our widows. Hallelujah. He can fill every single one of us tonight with the power of His Spirit. The promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit, saith God, upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. This is that. It didn't die with the apostles. It didn't die when the last book of the New Testament was written. But the Holy Spirit is at work in this hour. He is available to you right now. Reach out, hallelujah, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through the power, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ.
Nothing else.